Today is May 20th, 2006, and this is the Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro. To get the full story on anything we cover in this show, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. Kind of a different show on the agenda today. I'm not saying how or why. You'll see in a moment. I'm just going to do it. No warning. But first, we'll do the news. Right now. After a prolonged wait, MTV is finally ready to launch its online music service, Urge. The service, which will start as a public beta, is designed to compete with the iTunes Music Store and will offer some exclusive MTV content in its 2 million available tracks. Urge is both a subscription-based service and a pay-per-download service, like Napster. Urge has the brand familiarity of MTV, but it does not offer Macintosh or iPod support. Listening to music on a Windows-based PC will cost $10 a month. To download music to a portable MP3 player as well, you'll pay $15 a month. Songs can be purchased and downloaded, as usual, for a dollar each. Urge will offer 500 preset music playlists, 130 internet radio stations, and streaming videos. MTV plans to add video purchases later. Analysts see Urge as a potential threat to Apple's iTunes Music Store, but MTV pitches it as a complementary service. This will probably come up in a future context machine, but for now, suffice it to say that Urge will probably be a bigger issue for Napster than for Apple. Australia has passed new legislation legalizing such activities as ripping music from a CD and playing it on an iPod. The laws, which the country's attorney general called common sense amendments, also allow TV viewers to legally record programs, although they're supposed to delete them after one viewing. As in the United States, downloading or uploading music and video from or to the internet is still illegal, and as is playing video and audio content to groups or using it for commercial purposes. New measures such as on-the-spot fines were added to help beef up anti-piracy efforts. Australia has had an iTunes Music Store since last October. iPod accessory manufacturers in China and Taiwan will likely produce more than $104 million US worth of iPod and related audio accessories this year, up from 37% over 2005. That breaks down to $33 million for Chinese manufacturers and $71 million for Taiwanese firms. NBC plans to expand its internet-based programming beyond the iTunes Music Store by offering episode premieres for shows from NBC, USA Networks, Sci-Fi, and Bravo. NBC is looking to bolster its ranking in the network lineup and sees the internet as another avenue to pursue. NBC's new fall lineup reflects that, with tie-ins between broadcast programming and online content. These online distribution techniques, by the way, shouldn't affect NBC's relationship with the iTunes Music Store. And some quick computer news before we move on. Apple introduced the successor to the iBook, dubbed the MacBook, on Tuesday. The new computer-focused laptop... That doesn't make any sense, does it? The new computer-focused laptop... your captain is in good shape today. The new consumer-focused laptop is available in black as well as white. The tiny 12-inch PowerBook G4 is also no more. The MacBook is clearly intended to fill that niche. Just for the record, though, I'm calling it right now. Sooner or later, Apple is going to release a sub-notebook and call it the MacBook Mini. I'm just saying. Along with the release of the MacBook, Apple bumped up the processor speed of the 15-inch MacBook Pro. In response to the announcement, Piper Jaffray analyst Gene Munster on Tuesday issued a research report in which he wrote, "Given Apple's flat revenue guidance for the June quarter compared to March, we had anticipated that the MacBook would ship in the month of July. This should bode well for June quarter, given it given that it appears Apple has built up a supply of the MacBook before announcing it. And if you're curious about analyst Gene Munster, talked about him a little bit with Brian Chaffin a couple weeks ago in the Context Machine. And this story caught my eye as an unusual idea. Online magazine Slate will next week start offering iPod textcasts. The publication will offer its daily Today's Papers feature in the format, attaching the text to a 15-minute silent audio file. Users will see an advertisement where album art is typically shown. And we're going to move on directly to the product roundup. There's no Context Machine this week. This product roundup is all thanks to a single listener email. So here, everybody. I'm paying attention when you write. You should let me know when you see news or hear about products that deserve mention on the show. I love getting those emails, and I suspect that all of you will love that I got this email and can share what I have discovered because of it. Okay, so this part of the show, this entire product roundup is predicated on the following observation. Music discovery is really tough. Without belaboring the point, let's go over what some of the ways people do that are right now. Obviously, the best way to discover music, people go and they talk to their friends, right? You ask your friends, what do you listen to? You hear something in someone else's car, someone else's house. They say, oh, I just got this new album. It's really great. You listen to it. You like it. That's the best way to find music. We all agree on that. But of course, those opportunities, sometimes they're around, sometimes they're not. When you're not listening to your friend's music, you might still want to be finding out about new music or do some of it on your own time. So that's one way. It's the best way. But we all search for these other ways. In the past, historically, obviously the biggest way people have discovered music on their own was through radio. I'm not even going to talk about that right now. Most people, I think most of you could probably agree, radio is not usually the best place to find new music these days. There's genre searching, which is what a lot of us do, particularly in the heyday of the record stores. You go into a record store that you liked, and you just search around in the genres that you felt comfortable with, and maybe you'd be able to listen to some albums that they had around, or you'd see what they had advertised. One of the problems with genre searching, of course, the biggest problem with it, is that you limit yourself to certain genres, and all of us hear songs outside of the genres that we normally like, but we never go and find them on our own because we don't know that there are other genres out there that have music in them that appeal to us. So that's the biggest problem with doing that, restricting yourself to a genre. There's this fairly new thing since the advent of the internet, purchasing habits, using the history of music purchasing to suggest new stuff. Amazon obviously does a very good job of that. iTunes has tried to do it recently with its Just For You section. There, of course, what's going on, you purchase an album, say, hey, I heard about this album, I want to go get it, you buy it, and the service, whether it's iTunes or Amazon or somebody else, they remember that you got it, and they say, hey, like this customer likes this type of music. They associate you with that type of music, and then they go and they do some searching of their purchasing database, their vast purchasing database, and they say, hey, people that bought this music also bought some of this music, and so they present other music to you that you might like. Now, I don't know about you. I've purchased plenty of things at Amazon and iTunes, and I very rarely pay attention to the listeners also bought section of those things for a couple of reasons. One of them is that you don't usually want to go and just keep spending money. Another one is that you're generally stuck with the most popular stuff, the stuff that's the most likely to have been played on the radio in the past or other things like that, because those types of data mining from Apple's perspective or Amazon's perspective, the data mining that they do is most reliable when they stick with the most popular types of music. And so it's not a great way to branch out if you're looking for ways to do that with music. And then, of course, there's podcasting, which is a pretty new thing, and people have gotten really excited about that. I've been really excited about it at points, listening to some shows, saying, hey, I think I could really discover some new music. But, of course, with a podcast, you're at the mercy of the host, and no matter how good the host is, no matter how much you like the host, there's always going to be stuff they play where you say, that is not what I was looking for. So, what is this product roundup about? That was a very long introduction. What is this product roundup about? It's about a site called Pandora. And Pandora, again, I was told about this from a listener email. Ben, thank you so much for sending this in. They've been around for a little while. They started a public beta, I think, around last August. And they're now fully launched. I don't want to get too nitpicky when I start talking about this service. The best thing for you to do is run over there and take a look at it. But let me give you an idea of what's going on. When I hear about something that's going to help me find new music, I immediately say, all right, I want to hear something right now that's sweet that I've never heard before. That's my standard for a music discovery tool. If I can turn it on, do almost no work, and have it present something to me that's awesome. So I went ahead, I went to Pandora.com, and read what I was supposed to do, and they got a little thing that you click on, say, I want to listen to some music, and you type stuff in, and it said, all right, Led Zeppelin, what's up now? Enter. And it started playing sweet music for me. This is exactly what I've never seen this before in a music discovery tool. I just said, hey, this is something I like. And they started handing me all this stuff that was great. Now there were some tracks where I was like, yeah, that's kind of nice. I'll listen to it once, but I wouldn't go out of my way to find it. But that was the worst it got. I don't think I heard anything where I said, this is bad. I really don't feel like listening to this right now. I was in the mood for Zeppelin. I typed in Zeppelin, and that's what I got. I got stuff that totally fit that thing. Now, if you don't like Zeppelin, I went and tried some other things. Did a little Sam Cooke. I put in Joe Williams, who's one of my favorite singers. Interesting thing about that, they don't have all artists. I'll talk about that in just a minute. There's a question about which artists you can find out. But let me give you an idea of what happens when you type in an artist. I typed in Led Zeppelin, greatest rock band of all time. I didn't include all of that, but I'm sure they know that over there. And this is the description that they gave to me of the type of music they were going to look for. It says, mixed acoustic and electric instrumentation, a vocal-centric aesthetic, extensive vamping, and major and minor tonalities. Now, that may or may not mean anything to you, but it's one of the best descriptions, one of the most complete descriptions of the type of music that they wrote, which immediately triggered something in my brain. There were human beings behind the creation of this. It wasn't some arbitrary algorithms running in the background. There were actual people deciding what types of music were like one another. And it was good. It was they were doing a good job of that categorization. It wasn't just, oh, we kind of like this music and we also kind of like that music, so let's put them in a basket together. They really were going out of their way to do this. So let me talk. This is for the geeks, anyone who's curious how this works. Pandora is the service, but it's based on a project called the Music Genome Project. And that's the engine behind all of this. It's apparently, and I just learned about this recently, it's a great big database that they're building. Not the Human Genome Project, clearly it's named to be reminiscent of the Human Genome Project, but the Music Genome Project, they got this team of musicologists and they listen to all of this music and they rate it based on things like the instrumentation, like I was saying before, instrumentation and certain elements of the song structure, and presumably also decisions about mixing and where certain instruments and sounds are, and you know, how aggressive or how mellow it is. All that stuff that we think about when we listen to music, that's based on hundreds of different things, like where harmonies are placed and what kind of mixing decisions have been made. So they're clearly making those decisions based on some of the technical aspects of how the music has been made. And they put all this stuff together, and they make this big old database, and then they've built this software, this interface and machine learning AI algorithm kind of thing on top of it that will go and select music for you to stream it to you. So it's a really interesting experience to listen to. One of the, like I said, there's some machine learning involved in this. Once you create, what you do is you create radio stations. So, you know, I typed in Led Zeppelin. It gave me my Zeppelin station. And it was all this stuff that was kind of related to Zeppelin. And then I said, well, how about Joe Williams? And I said, well, how about Sam Cooke? And I said, well, how about, there's a song on the Garden State soundtrack called In the Waiting Line, 07. So I put that in. It knew who they were. Gave me all different kinds of music. All of it was interesting. All of it fit very well with what I'd originally given. And then as you're listening, you can give a thumbs up or thumbs down to music, and it'll refine the station further. And that's nice. The nicest thing about giving stuff thumbs up or thumbs down, you can, if you give stuff thumbs up, then you can actually see the list of songs that you've explicitly said, I like this song. So if later on you want to go back and say, hey, I was thinking about buying some music, you can go back and listen to these songs that you heard once, and they're just kind of stashed away for a time when you might actually want to go and buy music. And then, not surprisingly, they offer links for you to go and buy that music through either Amazon or iTunes. So all of that works very nicely. They have that machine learning stuff. One of the things that I really like about this, I've seen some other attempts at music discovery tools on the internet, but some of the most interesting ones, some of the most clever, were, I assume, not palatable to the big labels. That's not the case here. Like I said, they were playing Zeppelin. They were playing stuff that was on labels. They're playing a lot of 70s music on that Zeppelin station. The thing is, you can hear stuff from the major labels as well as some stuff that you might not know as well. It's not limited just to independent artists, and it's not limited just to top 40 kind of music. And it has a really wide range. They say that they've done this cataloging as far back as 60 years. They're still working on it, but they've got a range of about 60 years with an incredible variety of stuff. So it's been a very interesting experience listening to what directions they send you in. One of the things that I want to go and do, I want to find out a little bit more about the Music Genome Project and figure out whether they're including stuff just from signed artists, whether they're including some independent artists. And I'm going to try and find some of that more information out for all of you, and I'll let you know once I have some more of that on hand. But just qualitatively, so far, I've had a very good experience listening to whatever it is they've got. They're doing a great job making sure that there's plenty of variety in the stuff that you hear. So there's all this different stuff about how well it works as a music discovery tool. There is one comment that's worth pointing out here. You cannot hear all artists. Like I said, I typed in Joe Williams, who's a jazz and blues singer who sang with the Basie Band and did some terrific stuff with just a little jazz band that he played with later on. Apparently his stuff isn't up there. The only explanation they give is that some artists, some labels may have opted out. It looks like they've got a kind of opt-out system where some artists might say, no, don't put our stuff up there for whatever reason. It's a bummer that it's not up there, but they're still able, they still have information about them to give you other music that's similar and that's related. So hopefully, as time goes on, there will be fewer and fewer holes in what they do have. Yeah, you can always hear stuff that's like the stuff that you already knew about or liked. So again, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. You should go over there and check it out. For the time being, this is the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. This is how much I trust this thing. I'm having friends over tonight. And I'd make a playlist in iTunes and have that playing. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bother making a playlist. I'm going to pick a single song where I think the attitude of the song or the whatever is appropriate for the evening. And I'm going to plug it into Pandora. I'm going to let Pandora do the rest. I am totally excited about this product. I think it's very, very rare that you see products that do these things so well. Incidentally, Pandora is ad-supported. There's a subscription thing where you can get rid of the ads. not unlike what we do at the Mac Observer. But the ads are not in the way at all. They haven't interrupted the streaming of this music for me. So that all seems to work out nicely, and I'm happy to look at some ads and support that. Again, I'm going to look into this a little bit more over time. I want to figure out how they structure this database and how they do some of the what it is that they're planning to do with this database other than Pandora, because I understand that they've been working on the Music Genome Project for a while now, at least 10 years, maybe longer than that. I think I'm going to double check that, but they've been working on the Genome Project for a while, and Pandora is a fairly new thing. So I'm curious how else they plan to use this database, if it was just an academic project or if that was intended to be commercial as well. And also some of the stuff about how they structure it, how they managed to get this this service built on top of it. But it really is quite an impressive piece of work. Try it out and let me know what you think. I'm really curious what all of you think about this. If it works for the type of music that you're interested in. I didn't do a lot of search on electronica or hip-hop, and I'm going to get around to it, but I don't know as much about electronica or techno or other things that some of you might know more about. So I'd be really interested to know what you think about and what you hear and what you like and what you don't. And send me your comments. Obviously, you should let them know if you have comments for them about their service, but I'd be really curious to know if you went over there and tried it and liked it, dug the whole thing. And hey, thank you so much to Ben for this tip. And the rest of you, let me know going forward if you see cool products, if you hear about cool products. I obviously love getting those emails, and I love to share cool stuff that I see with all of you. By and large, you may have noticed when I do these product roundups, if we got press releases that we carried or other information that we carried during the week, I'm happy to pass that on to you. I think it's really important for anyone that's interested in the platform of the Mac or the iPod to know about products that are out there. But I will stop the show. I will totally restructure this show as soon as a product comes along that deserves real attention. And I think this is one of them. So, hey, go over there, check it out, enjoy it. Let me know if you hear some cool music. And that's it for this week. That's the news. Stay subscribed, everybody. Until next week, I'll see you online.